Now, that is true. I'm Jim Rome. I am live. I am in Southern California, but I am in a brand new studio. After spending nearly 12 years in our last studio, which had been constructed, state-of-the-art, beautiful facility, and it does hold up. It is even now. Well, it was until we pulled everything out of there last night. We are in a brand new spot, still in Southern California, still live, and the reason we're here is we are going to have a TV show. This radio show converts into a TV simulcast come January 2nd, and it's on CBS Sports Network. Make sure you have CBS Sports Network. It is still the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Setting up hour number three, I've got Dana White joining me in about 15 minutes. ATP coming up a little bit later on. In addition to that, I want to talk about the coaching carousel in college football, but I'm going to skip what I would start the third hour with, and I'll do it for a certain phone call. Like this guy, oldest of the old school. And in all the thousands of people that have called this show over the years, there's nobody like this guy. Fabian in Los Angeles. Fabian, what's going on? Oh, my bad. My bad, Fabian. Run it back. Start over. Yo, Fabian, what's up?
What's going on, Romy? Hey. I'm going to be late punching my clock. That's the only I know I could talk all day. You let me. I'm cool like that. Hey, Rome, I just want to congratulate you, and I have to get back to work. And, I mean, I was going to talk Rams, you know, whatever, but I got to go, my man. Sorry. Bye.
Fabian, what the hell did you call for then? What was that? I could talk all day, but I have to go. Which one is it? You can talk all day or you have to go?
You know.
All right, let's do this. Fabian, you should get yourself together and you should call me back. Listen, man, just take a deep breath. Hit the reset button, reboot, think about it. Your calls sound pretty similar, so I know you could do this. I know you could do this. Fabian, bro. Listen, I don't want to come down too hard on you because you have so much history with this show, but did you see what I just did? I said that for a certain caller, I will go right to the call. I'll skip my rant. I'll skip what I was going to do. All right, so I totally break format and I make an allowance for you. And then what do? You start off by saying, hey, Rome, I could talk all day. I'm like, good. There's a reason for me to skip what I was going to do to go to you. But then you immediately say, yeah, I got to go, Rome. Sorry about that. So I dropped what I was doing and I broke my format to go to you, but you don't want to call or you don't want to talk. If you don't have time to talk, why did you call? Fabian, I'm very confused, even more so than when you call. My man, call me back. In fact, I will keep a line open for you. Call me back and let's do it again, but this time let's do it the right way. Only for you, Fabian, because you did me wrong. If I'm going to break a format or break the format for you to take your call, do not say, oh, I don't have time to talk. Bye, Rome. Oh, there he is. Good. Fabian, let's pretend that that did not happen, and let's do it again. We start hour number three. I'm going to break my format, and I'll do it for certain people like this guy, Fabian in L.A. Fabian, brother, what's going on?
Doggy dog. I swear, Rome, it's the most... Oh, man. Okay.
I tried. Yeah, I'm not going to make the same mistake three times, all right? Whatever, dog. Doggy dog, next time. Yeah. When you have more time, call. All right, so one time you hung up and the next time you got run. Okay. Doggy dog, okay?
You know.
Neep. All right, anyway, I should have done what I was going to do in the first place. Go to the coaching carousel. The college football coaching carousel. Fabian, don't call back again, all right? Two is enough. The college football coaching carousel has been spinning so fast, it's hard not to get a little bit dizzy, a little bit nauseous. Mike Gundy was rumored to be a candidate for the Tennessee gig, but he's going to stay at Oklahoma State. Now the Volunteers are reportedly interested in SMU's Chad Morris. And if we wait long enough, I'm sure they'll get around to Heath Shuler, Eric Ainge, and a co-coaching opportunity for Casey and Rick Clawson. Now think about that. Casey Clawson is kicking ass as the coach of my alma mater and noted football power, Calabasas High School in the 818. So no one is messing with the Coyotes. You don't believe me? Go ask Clay Matthews, who went to our rival, Agora High School, who routinely got their brains beaten in by us. No way Tennessee could pony up and outbid the rich cats at Calabasas High School for Casey Clawson. And I'll tell you something else. There's no way Casey Clawson would ever leave Calabasas High School for the University of Tennessee, because the Coyote gig is a much better job than the Tennessee job. So don't waste your time asking the Calabasas High School principal, whoever the hell that is, for permission to talk to Clawson. He's not interested. He's not coming. Hell, at this point, the Coyotes could probably beat the Vols. Don't waste your time. Anyway, I digress. Also on that carousel, Penn State offensive coordinator Joe Moorhead is about to become the head coach at Mississippi State. Texas A&M is still rumored to be after Jimbo Fisher. And according to USA Today, FSU is taking this seriously enough that they're doing a background check or background research on Oregon's Willie Taggart as a possible replacement there. I mean, it's crazy, right? Meanwhile, you've got Arizona State, and they've got an opening after they whacked Todd Graham. Initially, they were linked to Kevin Sumlin. It seemed to make some sense. But now a new name has come up. A new name has emerged on the scene. A former Buccaneers coach who hasn't coached in college for a while, but what he lacks in recent college experience, he makes up for in a strong, charismatic personality. He's become a household name as a broadcaster. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Yep, yet another school linked to John... Wait! It's Herm Edwards. That's right, that Herm Edwards. The one who has not coached college football in nearly three decades. The guy who has not coached anywhere since 2008. The one who was 20 games under 500 as an NFL coach. I mean, what? Chan Gailey and Rich Kotite didn't make the cut? And don't get me wrong. There's a lot to like about Herm Edwards. For starters, if he can't get you fired up to play a game of football, then there's something wrong with you. And I'm guessing he'd be pretty strong in a living room, and he can make a solid pitch as to why Arizona State is the right place for you. But at the same time, I mean, seriously, Arizona State's got to be able to find a coach who's, well, I don't know, a coach? Herm is a broadcaster. He's an analyst now. That's not to say that he couldn't do the job, but there has to be other head coaches or assistants who'd be interested in the ASU gig who have coached college football since the BCS was started and then demolished. What I'm saying is, this isn't Herb Meyer or Chip Kelly taking a brief time out from coaching and spending a few months away as an analyst. This is a guy who has spent a few decades away from the college game. This is a guy who spent nearly a decade as an analyst. And yes, I know there's a connection between Edwards and ASU AD Ray Anderson. And that Anderson's been very public about wanting to keep both of the current coordinators on the new staff. So maybe he's just looking for something that's a little bit different. But this feels like an incredible risk. And what I'm getting at here, maybe this is exactly what Tennessee should have done with Greg Schiano. Come up with a crazy idea, float it out there first to see what the reaction is. If the Vols had done that with Schiano, they would have known how unpopular that would have been, and then they could have saved themselves a ton of embarrassment and a possible lawsuit from the guy, which might be what ASU is doing right now. They probably went to school on that. They probably learned from that. Otherwise, they're just going off the board, and they're taking a gigantic swing, which is either brilliant or insane or both, but probably insane. But what they are doing is they're floating it out there to see how it's going to be received. And right now, it's not being received well at all. Again, why would you do that? I mean, there's so many guys who, I don't know, coach. There's so many guys who are actual coaches. Why would you bring in somebody who has not coached in college for several decades? Not even years, but decades. Maybe they're floating it out there and they're getting their response, which is what Tennessee should have done. Let's go to Twitter and see what's up. People responding to Fabian. At StephenABQ tweets, Fabian, which clock do you have to punch? Is your alarm set for noon? At Fake K Winslow tweets, Fabian did you as dirty as Ben McAdoo did Eli Manning. And it's not that bad. It's actually in character for Fabian. He's like that. I mean, Fabian's mind, I mean, listen to the way this guy thinks. He's going about a million miles a minute. I guarantee when Fabian called me the first time, he probably thought to himself, I've got all day, Rome. But by the time I actually got to him, he might have changed his mind to, you know, I've got no time at all.
You know.
Alex Hernandez tweets, quote, I could talk all day long, but I got to go. Is the parody Larry call we've all been waiting for.
I know I could talk all day. You let me. I'm cool like that. Hey, Rome, I just want to congratulate you, and I have to get back to work. And I mean, I was going to talk Rams, you know, whatever, but I got to go, my man. Sorry. Bye.
So Fabian, it's the greatest. Oh, speaking of parody Larry, don't act like he hasn't been on hold the entire program because he has. Larry so badly wanted to drop some terrible parody to help me christen this new building. There's no way that was going to happen. At Stucknut. Stucknut's in. Slap a trash sign on Fabian's call.
Yeah.
I would never do that, but he is on topic. Y'all want to slap trash stickers on things, don't you? I've been slapping trash stickers on all your content forever, clones. It's not a new thing.
Totally trashed.
This email reads, Rome, there you go again, trying to pull one over on America. I've lost a little more respect for you. That Fabian call was obviously an old call. We could tell by the buzzer. Thanks. Larry, the Radio Shack idiot, and his cousin brother. Matt in Vancouver. Matt, one of your better efforts. Well, look, I don't know. Alvin, I know you're dealing with a new box right there, but because that call just came in, play me his second call one more time, and you tell me whether or not this is an old call or Fabian picking up the phone and calling right back. Let's see if Matt in Vancouver is the one telling the truth. Go ahead,
I know
Albie.
I could talk all day. You let me. I'm cool like that. Hey, Rome, I just want to congratulate
Wrong
you.
Wrong call, Alvin.
I have to get back.
It's all right. We got a new studio. It's all good. Alvy's dealing with like the USS Enterprise. You should see what he's presiding over right now. This dude's got an incredible new board. Try the second call that he made right after the first. Fabian, Los Angeles, talk to me. What is on your mind?
Doggy dog. I swear, Rome, it's the most... Oh, man. Okay.
How do you know we didn't go old school buzzer on him? How do you know that? And also, before you go, Larry and his brother cousin at Radio Shack, don't come in here and say, hey, Rome, you can obviously tell by the sound of the phone call, the sound of you on the mic, that it's not the same studio, that it's not the same day. How do you know? What are you, an IT legend? Who are you? Al? Who installed all this stuff? Come on, how do you know? You don't know. I've got Dana White coming up in a minute. 1-800-636-8686. In fact, before Dana White comes in, quick email before I go to break. Rome, a wise choice to have Dana White help usher in the new studio. The next era for not only your show, but for the UFC as well. Might legends like Ronda Rousey or Conor really never fight again in the UFC? It's hard to entertain those thoughts seriously, but it's the kind of hard decision points that legitimate commissioners have to deal with in legitimate sports. But UFC 218 looks like another great card. Just like my pals from Detroit say, Detroit hustles harder. And there is no harder hustle than putting on those 4-ounce gloves and stepping into that octagon. We'll let the weenies deal with chain snatching, soap opera quarterback controversies, and college boosters trying to act like Jerry Jones. Sincerely, stolen Christmas decorations. Getting your vanity plate rejected by the DMV. Bringing KFC mashed potatoes to Thanksgiving dinner. Asking the copper recycling center if they have surge pricing, and abscessed toenails. War lead pipes painted like candy canes being allowed on the UFC 218 undercard. War Alvin and Hawk putting the old studio speakers in a van and trying to sell them to people in a mall parking lot. Joaquin getting in right ahead of Dana White. Dana White joins me when we come back to hit on some of the topics that Joaquin actually brought up.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
You're efforting Dana White. We'll find him momentarily. He's running a couple of minutes late. So if you want to take advantage of that opportunity, go right ahead. 1-800-636-8686. We are in a brand new studio. If you're joining us late, I've been talking about this all day long, and if it sounds like I'm hyped up, it's because I am. We are in a brand new studio, and it's almost totally complete. Not quite there yet, because we have to get it ready for TV. This show becomes a televised simulcast again on January 2nd, but it's been great. I just want to reiterate something really quickly. At this time, sports media is really, really tough. It's a tough, tough industry. It's a really challenging time. There are a lot of very, very good people, very talented people, very dedicated people who have put in their time, really given their professional lives to it, and they're putting their stuff into boxes right now. Nobody really is immune to this. It's just the landscape. It's the way it sets up. So when the business or the industry that you work in is shrinking on itself every single day, you simply cannot take for granted when something like this happens, because it's huge. It's big. Something like this for this show and with this studio and with the simulcast, it's creating some jobs. It's expanding our crew, and it's forged some awesome new partnerships and relationships. So what I'm saying is this: in an industry that is surrounded with cutbacks, layoffs, firings, and all sorts of bad news, I am really excited and really grateful for the opportunity, and so is my staff. We are pumped to be here, pumped to get after it. And none of this is possible without the help of a number of people who deserve a hell of a lot more credit than merely a shout-out. But I've got to drop some names really quickly. Chris Olivero, Tyler Hale, Walter Rapps, Sam Kappas, Marianne Fisher, Andy Elric, Kelly Dunn, Joe Lewis, Greg Bryant, Kirk Kearns, Gabriel McKee, Alan Hartley, Jason Ornelas, and the incredible on-site crew that has been working around the clock for the past month to make this happen. Steven Yannick, Mitch Robertson, my man Al coming up big, Scott Colombo kicking everybody's ass and keeping people in shape. And of course, my point person for absolutely everything in the world, KTK, Craig Kitchen. The XR4TI working well into the night last night. I want to thank everybody for making this possible. I am pumped to be here, excited for the years that we all have ahead of us in this brand new studio. So with that, let me once again say, welcome to the jungle, Alvy. Welcome to the freaking jungle. I was afraid that Alvy was going to hit the time to die. Don't do it, Alvy. Rome, if you complete a 4G inverted dive with a MiG-26, then you can do shots whenever the hell you want. War the new studio and war my fiance. Doug in Western Colorado. This guy's in with the first. Jimmy, first haiku of new studio. Been waiting on the first haiku. This reads: Rome sounds crystal clear. Alvy's board locked and loaded. Hawk, cat picks on desk. Chad in Orlando. You know what? We were running hard this morning, so I have not checked out the guys' offices. In fact, I was concerned with setting up my own office that I haven't gone to their office. Hawk, is that true? Do you have cat picks in your office? Bro, true? He's got one cat pick in his office. Wow, bro. Embarrassing as you ever were. Check him out on our podcast this week, episode 15. We talk about all that stuff. His best day, his worst day, what it's like to screen calls, what it's like to be Hawk on Twitter. I dropped that soundbite already. And the fact that he does tweet cat pictures. 1-800-636-8686 as I'm efforting Dana White. I think I'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Rich in Detroit. It's good to have you, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing well, Rome. Congrats on the new studio.
Thanks, bro, very much.
All right. real quick, just two things on the Giants. Born and raised a Giants fan. Eli Manning starts 2004, 2017. The guy brings you two rings with receivers that are not even in the league. No disrespect to the amazing defense of those two Super Bowl teams. Mario Manningham, out of the league. David Tyree, who knows where he is. Plaxidental shooting, got him on the back end of a crap deal from Pittsburgh. And Victor Cruz, love the guy, still not there. Not drafting studs, not paying money to get anybody, yet he brings you two rings, and you start Geno Smith? Jokes. Call your brother, say, dude, I'm on a plane to Denver. Call Elway. We'll meet you at the steakhouse in Cherry Creek. You know what? Call Shanahan, because he was there before Elway. Let's pick out some property and have a steak and win a Super Bowl, clown-ass Giants. And Ben McAdoo, take that haircut and that little mustache thing you got going and throw it away. He's like the guy from, I can't even remember his name. He's like the guy that's in the movie The Rock. He's not Sean Connery. He's not, you know, Nick Cage. He's not the other old guy. He's like that one
He's
guy.
He's that other guy, right? Like, all right, I got you, Rich. Thanks. Plaxidental shooting is what he went with. And he called the Giants clown ass. All right, so where does that leave Eli Manning? Again, we talked about the fact that this guy made it very clear he wanted to spend his entire career with one team. So few guys get to do that. Hell, Joe Montana didn't do that. Brett Favre didn't do that. And don't forget, Brett Favre did not start his career with the Packers. But even he's a guy that didn't end his career with the Packers. He went to the Jets. Almost nobody gets to do that. Eli Manning. Woo! That's the first time I've gotten that off in the new studio. So almost nobody gets to do it. If Joe Montana didn't get to do it, almost nobody can. But it looked like Eli Manning was going to. He's got a couple years left on that contract. He's got a big cap number next year, but it seemed like they'd let him play another year. But that's not what they're doing. So if you're Eli Manning, what do you do? Again, the guy's got nothing to prove. He's got two Super Bowl rings. He's got the MVPs. He's an icon. I think he's done enough to get that gold blazer. The guy's got nothing left to prove, or at least he didn't until yesterday, and now he probably does. So what are the logical landing points? I mean, you don't have to be a genius to figure this out. He could go to Jacksonville and be reunited with Tom Coughlin. The only problem with that, and personally, I don't think it's going to be a problem, but I could argue that because things ended so badly between Coughlin and the Giants and Jerry Reese, maybe they couldn't do a deal. But then again, Reese might not be the guy there to do that deal. And then again, I'd get beyond that. He could end up in Jacksonville. They need a quarterback. Blake Bortles obviously is not the guy. They're not going to win anything that matters with Blake Bortles. They've got that great defense. They can sometimes run the football. They need a quarterback. So Eli Manning makes sense there because he had great success with Coughlin, and they're obviously connected. Maybe he goes to Denver like his brother did. The Broncos need a quarterback. They had a great defense, which is a pretty good defense right now, so that makes a lot of sense. But then again, you wonder about Eli Manning. Would he not walk off on it? Or does the guy have something to prove? I don't know. If I'm Eli Manning, I don't walk right now. Not if I'm feeling good physically, and I don't want my career to end that way. Getting benched for Geno Smith? No way in hell. If there's a good opportunity, I would take that shot. Be it in Denver or Jacksonville. I just know this. The Giants, I can't imagine a team that's got that kind of class, that kind of dignity, most of all, that kind of ownership, letting something like that get away from them the way they did. Again, you want to take a look at a young quarterback, then set it up the right way and treat your icon with respect. You don't bury a dagger in the guy's back. I mean, what a terrible look. They treat that guy like he's Chad Henne or something. He's Eli Manning. He beat the Patriots. He won you a couple of rings. He's an all-timer. How do you not treat this guy better? And how do you do this guy dirty like that? And I want to know who made that call. Was it McAdoo? Was it Reese? Or did it come from higher up? And you want to talk about doing a guy dirty. How about Reese? What if Reese went to McAdoo and told him to do that, and then they're going to fire McAdoo? I mean, I don't think you have to be very jaded to know that that might have happened. Or what if ownership instructed both of them to do it, and they're going to fire both of them? You don't need to go to all this trouble to find out whether or not Davis Webb can play. Just put him out there and let him play, but handle it the right way with your veteran quarterback. When we come back, Dana White's going to join us. So that's coming up next segment. That's still ahead. And then our last segment of our first show in our new studio. What a great day today is. First things first, though, time for obviously a lot of say in what their TV show looks like. So what we're doing is we're merging this thing. You've got the radio program that I've done now for 25-plus years, and CBS Sports Network is going to televise the radio show. So they've obviously got their ideas. Number one, they've done this so many times. They've got other radio shows on the air. They do a lot of TV. My guys, Tyler Hale, Dan Weiberg, David Burson, these are all TV folks, TV executives. They've got ideas. They're not going to let me hang the Richard Incognito jersey, I don't think, in the studio. They might. In the meantime, as promised, we're joined right now by UFC President Dana White. You've got the Ultimate Fighter 26 finale this Friday in Las Vegas, live on Fox Sports 1. And you've got UFC 218, Holloway v. Aldo 2, Saturday in Detroit. That's live on pay-per-view, so it's a big weekend for the UFC. Dana White joins us again for a few moments. Dana, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm great, buddy. How you doing?
Good, good. Dana, good to visit. You've got Saturday's card, which features a rematch of Max Holloway and Jose Aldo. Dana, there was a time when Aldo was the baddest man on the planet. He was unbeatable, but he's lost two of his last three fights. Conor McGregor got him in Holloway. How badly do you think Aldo wants to get back the belt that he once had?
Yeah, no, I think he wants it bad. He seems very hungry. He jumped up and took this opportunity when Frankie Edgar got hurt. And in no way, shape, or form am I making excuses for Jose Aldo, but in his last fight with Holloway, his leg was messed up, so he couldn't throw the leg kicks the way that he wanted to, which is basically his bread and butter. So it's going to be I'm real curious to see how he what kind of a game plan he has going into this one.
You know, Dan, interesting you said that, because that's exactly what Aldo and his camp were saying, that I wasn't right. Holloway heard that, and he wasn't buying it. Holloway said, quote, hopefully he doesn't have an injury this time, and hopefully he kicks more. Kicks don't. The guy was dead tired in the second round. There's a feeling in there when a guy is falling off. His mouth was open. I was able to taunt him. I stalked and slapped him, and from that time on, I knew this guy's not moving anymore. Bottom line, Dana, for those who don't know Holloway, like, what's this guy's deal? How would you describe him as a fighter and as a person?
Yeah, no, I love that. And that's the beauty of, you know, when you have a legend like Jose Aldo and he goes in and he has that, hey, my leg was messed up. Well, guess what? We're going to do it again and we're going to see, you know, we're going to see where this thing ends up. That's what I love about this fight, you know. You know, it's funny because we had the Frankie Edgar fight, which was great. But the Jose Aldo fight being in there now is incredible. We're very lucky that we're this deep in the roster and that Jose wanted this fight, because I love this fight. I love Max Holloway. Like you said, this guy is a real fighter. He's a gangster. He will slap you. He will try to run him down and finish him the way he did the first time.
UFC.
Can he do it? Can Aldo stop it? It's a perfect fight.
Excuse me, Dana. UFC 218 is Saturday night in Detroit. It's live on pay-per-view. Dana, one more thought about Aldo. I mean, we're talking about a fighter who was unbeatable, but now he's lost two of his last three fights. When something like that happens, what does that do to a guy's mystique, aura, and his own confidence?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But he lost to Conor McGregor. You know what I mean? One of those losses is to Conor McGregor. And people can say whatever they want about Conor. Conor went in and looked damn good against Floyd Mayweather for the first four rounds. You know what I mean? So to lose to Conor is one thing. But, yes, his second loss, and Max Holloway, you know, the only guy who's beat Max Holloway in 4 years is Conor McGregor. So two really tough guys for Aldo.
You know, Dana, when you mentioned Conor, when you and I spoke a while back, we talked about the possibility of Conor fighting before the end of the year, and you've now announced the UFC 219 card in Las Vegas on December 30th. Conor is not a part of that. Is that in any way, Dana, connected to what went down when he jumped into the cage at a Bellator fight earlier this month?
Yeah, you know, obviously that, and, you know, he was a little rambunctious at our event, too, out in Poland. So he's been a little, you know, you've been in this game for a long time, Rome. You know, you see these guys, they're young, they become super famous, and, you know, you get $100 million in the bank. It's just, you know, it's hard to keep guys on the tracks, you know. It's one of those things I question daily, you know. When I talk to Conor, you know, Conor still has that fire, I want to do this, I want to do that. Yet at the same time, he's all over the place. You know, there's a level of uncertainty in any business. Like I said, when we sold the company, I had lawyers and, you know, a matchmaker and other guys who made a lot of money, and decided to never work again, you know? So who knows?
Dan, the point you're trying to make is actually very well taken. You've got matchmakers and lawyers who don't want to work. They don't get up in the morning and get punched in the face for a living.
Exactly. Yeah, it's tough. So hopefully, I'm hoping that Connor is going to blow off some steam, have some fun with his money, and then want to come back and fight again.
Dana White joining us. Yeah,
we'll see how this thing plays out.
You know, Dana, you said yesterday also that you do not want to see Ronda Rousey fight again. What do you mean by that, and what have you seen from her that makes you feel that way?
Well, the thing is about Ronda is if you look at her life, right, ever since she was a little girl, she started training in judo, then went after 2 Olympic runs, ended up medaling. Then as soon as she was done with that, she started focusing on mixed martial arts and then wanted to, you know, started fighting and training and wanted to become a world champion, became a world champion, defended her title 6 times, created this entire women's thing that's going on here in the UFC. And now she's in her early 30s. She's basically had no personal life her whole life. And now she has one. She just got married. She's incredibly happy. And she's like ready to move on to that next chapter of her life. What more does she have to prove here in the UFC? First of all, another one that has millions and millions of dollars, has enough money that she never needs to work again. And has just moved on to that next chapter. I'm happy for her. I care about her. She's my friend. And I just don't think she has anything else to prove here.
UFC 218, Holloway v. Aldo 2, Saturday in Detroit, live on pay-per-view. Dana, one last thought. I was just thinking, remember when Oscar De La Hoya just went crazy on Mayweather-McGregor? I mean, he hated that. He hated that idea. Thought it was like the worst thing ever for boxing. But now he says he's willing to fight McGregor. What do you make of that?
The nuttiest whack job on earth. This guy, I don't know if this guy is hitting the yayo and the booze again or what his deal is, but this guy is on another planet. I have zero respect for this guy. First of all, like you said, Mayweather versus McGregor was a complete disrespect to the sport of boxing. It was disgusting. He was F you and all the stuff on Twitter like a complete nut. But him versus Conor McGregor is a good idea. This guy is a complete nut.
Dana White, UFC president, the Ultimate Fighter 26 finale, also Friday in Las Vegas, live on Fox Sports 1. And you've got UFC 218 coming up in Detroit, live on pay-per-view. Dana, thanks for closing the show. Great to have you back. Dana, have a great day.
Always a pleasure, buddy. You too.
Take care, Dana. Dana White joining us. All right, then. Your thoughts. It's not too late to get through. I mean, call me right now. We can get one last call in. 1-800-636-8686. Also, why pay more for annual protection motor oil when you can get Castrol Edge Extended Performance for less? It goes 15,000 miles between oil changes. Titanium strong Castrol Edge. It's more than just an oil. It's liquid engineering. Dana caught himself at the very end. I thought there was a four-letter bomb coming. He goes, he's a complete nut. I don't know if he's back on the yayo and the booze again.
This guy's a complete nut.
He's talking about Oscar De La Hoya. Hey, listen, I mean, De La Hoya came out so hard against that fight. And you can see where he might. But he came out so hard against Mayweather and McGregor and how horrible that was for boxing. And Dana's right. I mean, he was F-bombing on Twitter. But then no sooner than the fight's done, Oscar doubles back and says, oh, I'll fight him. I'll fight him. Never mind that. I mean, say what you want about Mayweather. Mayweather's not what he once was, but he also hasn't gone a decade between fights. And how can it be the worst idea ever for Mayweather, but a great idea for Oscar? You ask Dana White, he'd say, I'll tell you what that is. He's a complete nut.
I don't know if this guy's hitting the yayo and the booze again or what his deal is, but this guy is on another planet.
And quote, he's a complete nut. Hey, listen, what he said about Connor was really interesting, wasn't it? His point that, hey, listen, when you get $100 million in the bank, all of a sudden you decide, I don't want to do this anymore. And the analogy that he made was when we sold the company, a lot of people got really, really rich. People like lawyers and a matchmaker, and they've got millions of dollars in the bank and they don't want to go to work anymore. So if you're Conor McGregor and you made $100 million or you've got $100 million in the bank, why would you get up and grind and cut weight and get punched in the face every single day to make a living when you don't have to? You know, that sounds like maybe Connor does not want to go back to work, at least not that kind of work. And I can't say that I blame him. I'd be disappointed. But I can't say that I blame him. Look, if given the choice, if I were to come to you and say right now, here's a lottery ticket, $100 million, you can have this, cash it right now. Would you ever work again? As much as you like your job, would you ever work again? I'm guessing 98% of you wouldn't. And what if your job involved getting punched in the face every single day? Then probably 100% of you wouldn't. It takes a really different cat to want to keep working through that. You know, we talked about John Jones and how his life changed. When you're young and you've got that kind of money and you've got all those kind of opportunities, you can see where you come off the rails. It's going to be really interesting to see what Conor McGregor does going forward. Because the last time I talked to Dana White, he said, I think he's going to fight again before the end of the year. And then this time when I talked to Dana White, Dana says, I'm not sure this guy's going to fight again. So we'll see. That's a wrap. That's day number one in our new studio. I want to thank all of our guests. We had a big day today. We had Dana White. We had Chris Mack, head coach of Xavier. Ralph Vacchiano talked about Eli Manning. I thanked everybody who made this thing happen. I can't tell you how hard and how many people went late into the night for the last several weeks to make sure we were on the air today. And there's no way I could thank them all. But thanks for everything, guys. The XR4TI grinding out. We'll be right back here tomorrow. You have a tremendous day. I'm Jim Rome. Thanks for listening. This is CBS Sports Radio.